It's the hour of truth. Faux-polis, I hope. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall to my right.
Hello, everybody.
And on the Georgia left horizon, I have James Usler.
Hello, everybody.
So what do we want to talk about?
I think maybe David just come up early listening to the service.
I'm not counting on that.
Well, one thing that stuck out to me in Steve's service, which he didn't touch on, is the lady with the lost piece of silver. And she seeked diligently till she found it. And that there's a value in that silver. And now, obviously he's really not talking about silver. He's talking about our eternal life. And there's a value to the Lord in that. And he's shown that through his love and sending his son Jesus here. We're valuable to him. Not that we deserve it or anything, but he loves us enough to look beyond all of our imperfection. I don't know, it stuck out to me.
Yeah, if we... Interesting. One of the things that stuck out to me was the way you have the son that returns. The son that stayed, his attitude is one I've seen repeated in churches everywhere, where you have somebody who was a rather boisterous in their pursuit of the world's pleasures, who the Lord receives the Lord. And they change in an instant, right? And it looks like they've got so much more going on with the Lord, and maybe the Lord's doing things for them. And the people who've been around and fighting the fight for 30 years suddenly they're like crabs in a pot. Where as soon as one starts getting up to the top of the pot, getting close to getting out, one of the ones on the bottom reaches up and snags him and pulls him back down. How many times have you seen that happen? That's a truth. That's what happens in churches as well. The jealousy of, they don't want to do what it takes to have that kind of fire again. They just don't want anybody else to have it either.
One of the points I saw in that too, and actually saw it when you mentioned the prodigal son, was what the attitude of the son was, the humbleness of the son was, I am not worthy to be called thy sons. And what did he say when he was eating that swine? He said, his servants eats better than I do. If he can just but be a servant unto him. But what did the father do? The father killed the fatted calf, and far above exceeding we can exceeding abundantly we can ask or think. And is that not our Lord? I don't know. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, that's an example of the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
And the goodness of the gospel. You can, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you can receive and be partakers in the gospel and the grace of the Father.
Scripture comes to my mind is, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's exactly what the son did, was he humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. What the other son didn't do was humble himself in the sight of the Lord. you know. I mean, it, he didn't.
I'll read and somewhere, and I don't remember where it was now, but, man, I wish I could remember where it was.
That's why it's important not to judge amongst ourselves.
The, the attitude of the one that stayed, the son that stayed, is in comparatively the same kind of places, you know, those that are religious and self-justifiers and content with their condition are not who Jesus came for. Jesus came for those who weren't self-righteous, that weren't confident in their ability to perform the law, and who had, in humility, were able in humility to receive him and his gospel. You know, the gospel wasn't for those, one of them, the gospels, I think it may be in Luke, talks about the gospel isn't there for those. He said, Jesus said, I didn't come for those who...
I didn't come to save the righteous, but sinners to right. Repentance.
That's still not what I'm
saying. Right. Oh, okay, apologize.
Those who are well don't need a physician. Those who are sick need a physician. If you don't have any awareness that there's anything wrong with you, you're not going to go seek out a doctor. Right?
Right.
So,
which...
You're right as well. It may or may not be a loop, but it's the same idea.
Right.
And it's almost like they exclude themselves because of their need to be self-righteous.
Yeah. And that goes back, I mean, it's kind of interesting in the sense you're bringing that up. But the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It was to show us that we needed him, that we need a physician. Because of the truth of the matter, whether they recognized that they needed a physician or not, they did need one.
This is John chapter.
And the Lord, quite frankly, showed them that they needed one. And still, they rejected that.
Yeah.
And seek to justify themselves. And, but, you know, it's interesting, and I like the point where Steve brought up was the grace. That what is being exalted is the grace. And it was an interesting thing, you know, just this past week where, Stephen had, you know, a buddy of mine I'm working with had said something to me, and I remember saying, You know, somebody's trying to take the glory about how things are going at the shop and these kinds of things. And he mentioned something to me about that. And I said, yeah, well, it's been since January that our numbers been exceeding above any other store except for a month, save a month. And I said, and I look around, Steven, and I see the grace of God. And the reason why I see the grace of God, because I look on how we operate as a complete disaster at times, and then we still come out with the numbers that are coming abroad. I go, it's only but by the grace of God. And you know, for him, he laughed and the point was made clear, and he actually received that. And it was a praise the Lord. But that's where God, what was being exalted there was nobody doing anything right, but Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy upon that place. And it's evident. But, and I preferred it that way. I'm not saying go and not just doing your job. No, seek diligently, do the job, and do that which is called, you're called to do. You know, God forbid, that's not what I'm saying at all. But the point is, I'd prefer it to look one way and come out the other way, that the grace of God may be glorified. I mean, what is our testimony across the board? The grace of God, how we turned our... where you see the grace of the Lord being manifest, where in our stupid, idiotic decisions and messes that we got ourselves into, where the Lord flipped those things upside down. I mean, that's all of our testimony. So what's then? The grace of God being magnified. And I like that point that was brought up. It's a good one.
One of the things that things that I noticed is out of John chapter 9, where you have this blind guy gets healed, and he goes through this grand inquisition from the Pharisees around him about, you know, how does this take place, and how do you know that you got healed, and that kind of thing. Towards the end of the dialogue with the Pharisees, Jesus said, verse 39, and for judgment I come into the world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. Because all you that think you see are blind as bats. You know, he told Nicodemus, you must be born again to see or understand the kingdom of God. These people are convinced they see. In their belief that they see, they are ignorant of their blindness.
Yeah. And, you know, and I look at their they're blind that they need a Savior.
Yeah. Verse 40, some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Gee, you think they got... they actually got a point he made. That was the suggestion there, yes. Jesus said unto them, James, your mic is open and you're bombing our little eardrums. Okay, thank you. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. That's exactly what that means in verse 39. If you're convinced that you see everything there is to see, then why do you need an eye doctor? That's what it amounts to. And if you're convinced in your ability to justify yourself and do the law, I'm not here to change your mind. I mean, and it's a revelation that that's not working. When you get that, then you can humble yourself and come receive the gospel.
As the Son did.
That's right. So, it is in these narratives with the juxtaposition of blind, relative blindness in actual physical blindness, and those that are just blind because they have no spiritual vision. They're not born again into the kingdom and can't see kingdom things. Blindness in any case is bad, but even somebody with physical blindness can receive the gospel and see kingdom things. So, there you go. Boy, it's good stuff in here. The next one, I mean, the next chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth by the door into the sheepfold, but entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climb up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber.
Can't go around Jesus to get to the Father. And that's
where... the way, the truth, the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me.
And that's where the Pharisees kept going, trying to be righteous in themselves and go straight to the Father. But they couldn't. You remember when Jesus says in Matthew, and he says that, except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I believe it's heaven there, not of God. It could be wrong, but I think it's heaven. And the reason being is that's the case is because the only righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was Jesus' righteousness.
Well, no man's righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The trouble was it was self-righteousness. It wasn't God's righteousness.
Right. That's why it had to exceed that.
Yeah. The only righteousness that is has the ability to do the saving work is Jesus, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So.
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's in John 14:6. These people that are running around trying to say, you know, there's equality. You know, all religions point to the same, take you to the same place. That's just not true. It's a lie. And what the Bible says about that kind of stuff is that if you try to get there any other way other than Jesus, you're but a thief and a robber.
Amen.
You're trying to break in to that which is not yours.
It's one law or another. You look at all the rest of the religions, it's a list of rules and regulations that try to make you righteous. And it can't be done except for the covering of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And it's interesting, you know, going down 10, I may read it a bit more. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Wow.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
You know, how many people who call themselves Christian can't say the same thing as the sheep who know the master's voice? If you claim to be the Lord's, you ought to know his voice when you hear it. His words when you hear it. And it's just an indictment. As I know, I've known so many people that had no clue when they were hearing the word of the Lord. I, at times, have not exactly done well as far as discerning that. It's something that should serve to keep you humble. And remember that that discourse in James and other places, is how you approach the Lord. You know, do it in humility and draw near to unto Him, and He'll draw near to you. And what is it? Scripture's coming to me that I can't place it, but He talks about, I will make my abode with thee. Where is that? Is that in, that's in like John 15, 14, 15,
I believe,
15,
I think it's in Matthew. I'm looking for it.
Well, somebody ought to be singing and dancing or something. keep the, silence monger off of people. Alrighty. I can do that. I know I probably do move away from the mic too much, but I will try to stay on it.
Yeah, John 14, I believe 16 is what you're looking at. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. No, that's not it.
That's not it. Mm-hmm. It's a good one, but it's not it.
Okay, Paul, I just don't know. My bad.
it was just a passing thought. It doesn't. And I was going to try and relate it, but it is. It is a. Not bad. Not a bad thing. I can go back to John. Chapter 10, where it says, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. He says, John 14:23, Davy says that. So you try and dig that one up for me.
Yeah, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him.
Yeah. You know that? That's a great promise. You get to abide with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's done all the work. You know, all you have to do is believe. Love God, love one another. That's a pretty simple price of admission.
Amen.
Go back to John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief come not but to kill, steal, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's how many times in the last 5 or 6 months have we had to cause to repeat that verse? as a reminder that, you know, why these things are happening to us, duh. The enemy, the thief, come but to kill, steal, and destroy.
Even that old carnal man
is in agreement
with it. Is in agreement and wants to drag you down.
Now, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep.
You want me to read?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
You want me to start at 12 and keep going down, buddy? But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is not, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
You know, the hireling is like a mercenary in the... Yeah, I know, I'm starting to sound like Davy. The mercenary doesn't have any... dogs in the hut, and, you know, he's simply there to collect a check. I don't know if I said the mercenary or the hireling, but it's like a mercenary soldier. His heart doesn't have to agree with his fellow soldiers. All he's got to do is be willing to fight. That's all he signed up for a check. In this case, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The sheep matter to him. That's, that's the difference in the love of God manifesting versus... all the love that we're capable of in the natural, which is nothing particularly noteworthy. kind of metaphor with the sheep is, he brings to an example of it being what He has come here to do. I lay down my life that I might take it again. I don't know. Did you read that one?
No. When we start reading it,
you did 15, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do
16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.
Okay, what's he talking about?
Other sheep that are not of this fold. That he has other serving him around. I don't know. I mean, not of just the people he's talking to of right now.
My Gentiles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
This
didn't
fold
see
here
that.
Is Jewish.
Awesome.
They're all Jews here.
Gotcha.
Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again.
No man...
And the next verse is, he's telling Pilate, I think it's Pilate, might have been the high priest. He says, don't you know that I have the power to have you crucified? And he says, you wouldn't have the power at all if it weren't given to you. nothing you can do to me, except I allow it. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I received of my Father. When he takes it again, that's when he rises from the dead. In the newness
goes
of life,
back and sits on his throne.
We all become partakers of it. That's how good he is.
And that's the other thing, is becoming the partakers of. One of the things Steve hit on was about David extending grace. We ought to be extending that same grace that Christ did. We ought to be.
Which is kind of the opposite of the crab pot analogy.
Exactly. It's the opposite of the crab pot analogy. That's what we ought to be doing. You know, in the same way that the Lord laid down his life, we ought to lay down our life for him. And we can partake of his love and his mercy and his grace and his life abundantly. It's an interesting thing. What do we do when we see others struggle? What do we do with that? Do we get offended and turn back, or do we extend grace to help them through that struggle? When they come to you with a battle that they're struggling with, or something that they're struggling with, do you point them to Jesus so that they can get across to the other side of that battle? And point them in the right direction.
Angie, I wouldn't say that we have the same power. I think that not in the sense that Jesus has it. What we have is we can be partakers of his ability to lay his life down and take it up again. We can lay our lives down. We lay our lives down all the time. But sometimes it's not terribly profitable what we're doing it for. We're just dumb, D-U-M-B, stupid. And
it kind of goes back to John 15 and what you're kind of pointing out. Without me, you can do nothing.
Absolutely.
Like, and he's coming back to what we're operating in is not in our strength or our ability or our anything, but operating in his strength, his ability, his grace. And, you know, it kind of going back to extending that grace to others. I mean, yet do you judge and condemn the others because of they have that struggle? Or do you give them the weapons that they need to battle through that struggle and to see the Lord to the other side? What you have a lot of times in the churches, just like the crab pot, is that they see that battle they struggle in because they're putting on that.
Some of those people are actually relieved when they see, say, a new Christian who had been on fire like that struggling all of a sudden.
Right.
Instead of being offering comfort and
grace and tools. Right. Right. To get across to the other side.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what, it's a sad thing that ends up happening is a lot of times is the people will come to the churches and they accept the Lord and they get excited and they go out. But then what happens is these list of rules and regulations that come upon them that start to bring them into bondage about trying to perfecting this flesh. And what happens is they spread that. And so instead of turning people to the grace of Jesus Christ, they're actually turning people away from it.
Yeah, they're,
and that's not what we are to operate in, but pointing people to what? The grace of Jesus Christ. Once again, and being free. Not back in bondage again. You know, kind of reminds me of Galatians. What does he say in Galatians? And now it's on the tip of my tongue. I lost it.
Jesus tells the Pharisees. You know, he says, "Not only do you keep people from, not only do you not go in, but you keep other people from going in."
Exactly.
You go forth and do your religious service, and you make people seven times the sons of hell.
Perfect. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Exactly what we're talking about. And this happens so much often. That the case should not be so. The case should be, it should be the pointing up to grace and to get another side. And then what gets happened there is when you do that, what gets magnified? God's grace and what He is able to do and what He has done. You know, I mean, there's many times, I tell you right now, there's many times where people who stood in the stead of Jesus for my sake has prayed for me, and instead of opting, and rightly so, offering, saying, you know, you screwed up, get it together, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? They yet extended grace, and they yet extended mercy, and yet pointed me back to the gospel and put my faith and trust in Him after I have screwed up, bumped, knowing better, but pointed me right back to the gospel. In fact, y'all guys did that for years for me, over and over again.
There's no point in wasting time telling somebody something they already know. I mean, not profitable either. Just go ahead and extend them grace and mercy, and see if the Lord can get them back.
Oh, and the scripture that came to mind with the Galatian is, you know, have you begun? How soon are you quickly removed from the grace?
Yeah.
how quickly have you?
That's just from trying to marry the working of the law with grace. Just the oil and water, man, they just don't mix.
Yeah, and I'm going to turn and read it because I know I misquoted that sucker.
Of course, you know, in John here with this discourse, no man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. The next verse, there was division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? That sounds crazy, man. Because especially when all you know is the natural, the stuff sounds like fables. Crazy stuff, man. Again, these people have not can't see in the kingdom. Seeing. Their eyes don't operate in the kingdom. Are you like anywhere near it yet?
Oh, in Galatians?
Yes.
I already looked it up. I thought we moved on.
Well, I was filling what would have been dead air had you not found it. All right, we were moving on, but we'll come back to it.
Well, that's why I turned back. I was like, oh, I need to go back to the place where this guy's
great.
At.
That's just wonderful.
Something else.
I can sing.
I'm like freaking out and right. Stuff. Yeah, here it is right here. It says in verse, Galatians 1, he says it right here. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, is what he says.
And
then that's that.
The grace of Christ is the gospel. What is the another gospel? The another gospel is faith and grace and works. You know, we still perform the law. In fact, we can do it well now.
And you know, the Pharisees' whole error is because they thought they were justified by that law. That whole law, I mean, if we kind of go back to Romans, the whole law was to sit there to make you real, was a schoolmaster to bring you unto Christ. Where he had, you know, I had not known sin except it said, thou shalt not covet.
Well, it didn't, it didn't escape David that, you know, because the laws of the sacrifice and all that stuff that were, David's, says, you know, the bay is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
He knows that the sacrifice doesn't save you. It's just blood symbolically covering you
for what's to come, the true sacrifice.
You got to believe. So, if David could know that, every one of these guys could. Right? So, let's see. They move on in John 10, from accusing him of having a devil. These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Okay, this is back, this is the dissension that they're having amongst one another. Some of them say he's got a devil, and the other one says, can this possibly be a guy that has a devil when he's healing blind? I mean, come on. It was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, and I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I do unto you. As I said unto you, great day. Ye are not my sheep. We've gone back to the sheep again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You're not interested in any of that. You want me, as if I'm Messiah, you want me to justify you and then have these people follow you. That's not the way it's going to be.
Yeah, you know, and it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. One thing you know about, because I have, you know, one of the things is you have also that line of authority, you know, it goes, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh.
The Father, but by
me. And, you know, I have that, we got a line of authority. One thing you know when the authority's pointing you, steering you, it's when, I mean, just this past week, for an example. And you got him, he sets up that line of authority. Because they believe, you know, they believe and they agree with him. We kind of went in John. They agree with the Lord. And one of the things is, I had some ideas. It's just this past week, you know, some things. And it was like, are you stupid? You know, one of the ways that we hear his voice is through that authority. And I just wanted to bring that out. Because that was, and not just one, but two, and they agreed together, and it pointed to the Lord.
Right? Let's see, where did I leave off? 27, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. But thank God, he keeps telling, are you the Christ? Yes. I and the Father are one. All right, get out the rock. Boy, y'all just can't be made happy. It just isn't right. the I came eating and drinking. And John came not eating and drinking. And, you know, you just, I piped and you haven't danced. There's just nothing will satisfy you. You're just, like little rotten children. Can't be pleased with, you know, I gave you this. And you like that. And that's pretty much what that's about. That's not what I wanted.
They rejected the message. And, it, you know, I mean, and that's, which leaves no excuse for them. One, if they couldn't accept it from one, they couldn't accept it from the 180 degrees across the other. Yeah. I mean, you know, Steve and Davey were kind of having a, you know, he would, you know, Davey and Steve were, or Steve and Davey are close, but in the natural, they are very opposite from one another, is what Steve was saying. And what you have, they're very opposite of one another in the natural, but they both point to Jesus. They both bring the same gospel. They both bring the same message. For on one hand, and for the other, that really, if you don't receive it, it wasn't God's fault. He gave it to you in two different ways. Two different people. There's no excuse from one way or the other why you could not receive.
But this is exactly how, and we've been that way when we were in the world. We're just full of ourselves and self-righteous and self-justifying and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, Jesus shows them how they are. He says, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Jews answered him, saying, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. You know, they're criticizing him for an expression of the goodness and the grace of the Father. Jesus had to leave his divinity in heaven and become as a man. He did it that way so we could be saved.
Amen.
And they're holding that very thing against him.
And that was the only possible way for us to have that life and life abundantly. Because just
a way for his sacrifice to be worth anything.
Exactly. And it goes back because it's not the righteousness of man. It could never have covered you. That thing was lost. And so you have that was the only way that mankind itself could have eternal life with him was by what he came down to do. And they're wanting to kill him for it. Because they wanted their own righteousness to be accepted and established, right. Just as Cain did.
Cain did, yeah. You say you're Abraham's seed, if you have children, if you're Abraham's children, do the works of Abraham. Yeah. Abraham believed that it was reckoned as righteousness.
And it's interesting because Steve, when he was doing that, is we forsake everything. When he goes in Luke 14, he was talking about forsaking our own righteousness, which is a hard thing to do, he said, remember? And that's that sacrifice of Cain and what those guys had. And we, let me not, just those guys, we have a hard time putting off.
Jesus answered them, says, not written in your law, I said, you're gods. If you call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him.
And I like that because, you know, well, you might go ahead. I apologize. That part, and I'm skipping a couple parts, but going down, if I do not the works, my Father believe me not. He's like, look, if I'm not doing the works, if I'm not healing sick, raising the dead, preaching the gospel, casting away, if I'm not doing, look, don't believe me. Please. Don't.
It's the same thing can be said of us.
Exactly. Exactly. But if I do, though you believe not me, if you don't even believe me, at least believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Look, I want you to get it. You know, and here's, and you talk about love. I mean, you got to picture this. They're getting ready to pick up, they want to pick up stones and kill him. And he knows it. But he's still going, look, if you don't believe me, at least believe the works. You know, you talk about love standing in the face of that. And still, there's that hand. He's still extending that. I mean, they can get on board with them.
Well, their response to all this is in the next verse, therefore they sought again to take him. But he escaped out of their hand. And, you know, that is... that's what self-righteousness and the desire to keep that. It'll do. It'll turn you against the truth in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And when you see it, you wouldn't know it. It says in the next verse 40, and when they
went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there.
That's very interesting.
And you know, praise the Lord in this is that, you know what? The Pharisees might have not got it and rejected it, but there were others that believed out of that confrontation.
Yeah.
The Lord's good, and we ought to not fall into that category where we're rejecting the truth, trying to hang on to our own self-righteousness that's just nothing but filthy rags, but be as the Son and humble ourselves and take upon what His grace and His covering.
You know, this place where John first baptized, what did he baptize? He baptized those who believe, right? Says he didn't do any miracles. It didn't take miracles to get somebody to believe John. But all things that he spoke of Jesus were true.
He set up
a little commentary of John here.
Amen. I mean, John was sent to set that way before him, to prepare thy way before thee.
You know, apparently the Pharisees weren't amongst them, but it says many believed on him there. And you know, that's the believe on. So that's the one.
And I could have been wrong about out of that confrontation because many believed. I could have been, I think I jumped to something else, so forgive me. I was wrong, folks. Online, everybody.
Yeah, well, be the first time. Tell me something, James. You back?
I am here, Paul.
Did we hang up on you, or did you hang up on us, or did I quit?
I think the internet failed us for a moment.
I see how you are. What do you think?
Well, the truth is that is no way but Jesus. You know, there's nothing we can do on our own that is going to justify us. And we need to solely rely on his sacrifice and its sufficiency to cover our sins. You know, you said, you know, the truth testifies against us, and we can take that and be offended, or we can take it and humble ourselves, know that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, and accept the Lord.
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me.
It's the only way.
Amen.
And everything we've read, it was at a total offense to him. Because it testified everything that... It all testified against what they were trying to achieve. Their self-righteousness, I guess.
Yep.
All right, we got about 35, 40 seconds, so let's wrap and tell everybody goodbye until next time.
Goodbye, and then until next time.
Goodbye.
I was giving you the cutoff there, buddy. All right, we'll see you next week, and may the Lord bless y'all. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining.